The title of today's lesson was stolen. I stole it. Years ago, my children, when they were very small, were at the Loyola University Child Development Center in New Orleans, where I was living, working, and practicing law. And they would do the various art projects throughout. And I always felt a pang of guilt dropping my little 2.5, 3-year-old son off at the Child Development Center. And then I would go off doing, you know, law work. And, you know, and there he was. And I always felt a pang of guilt that I hadn't quite been there helping him grow like he was supposed to be doing. I feel a little bit differently about that now. He was right where he needed to be, but back then I still felt that way. And so they would do the various art projects, you know, for Mother's Day, Christmas, and we had art projects galore throughout the house that the children would work on. Well, this one time of year, around this time of year, obviously, because it was Father's Day, they had them take these little red tile squares, and his 2.5, 3-year-old hand would paint on it. Ablazoned above it, the teacher had printed. I assume the teacher had printed it because it looks fairly well printed. A father's love helps us grow. Well, he brought that tile home and we decided that it was a kitchen hot plate, you know, where you put your hot stuff on it. But none of us really wanted to do that, but because it was his art project. And but it was a nice kitchen implement. And so we propped it up, right? As almost a backstop at the sink. And for 25 years daily, I have looked at that message, that father's love helps us grow. And you know, it stuck with me. It really did. And it informed me that my relationship with the children wasn't necessarily me, you know, hanging with him 8 hours a day. I mean, I did have my work responsibilities, but that my love was going to help him grow. And that's a very human and comfortable feeling, one that we can all relate to. I'm sure it was one that David and Solomon related to, as David was, you know, passing on in his days. He wanted to continue to share his love with his child. Beyond just providing materially for our children, we do help them grow. But soon I became a student of metaphysics, and I started looking for the inner metaphysical meaning behind everything. And so in putting together this morning's lesson and in recognizing that it is Father's Day, that message stuck with me somewhat. And I wanted to look further into a deeper metaphysical internal meaning for a father's love helps us grow. By that, I mean, we are all our own internal organism. We're all our own individualized expressions of God. We have within us father and son at the same time. We have within us father and daughter, same time. We have within us mother and son, same time. These are feelings that we can all relate to, that the spiritual side of ourselves relies upon, and we relate into them based upon our own personal experience. Our founders felt this way in the basic text, Divine Science, Its Principle and Practice. They define Father as, quite frankly, God, source, principle, life. Going further, Melinda Kramer and Fanny Brooks James write the following: consciousness of truth unfolds as we reason from the one all. All things are produced by the power of God's creative action. The result is an exact image of the idea of the Creator, and never is it otherwise. The Father is universal, the Son is the individual. So let's take this back to that expression, a father's love helps us grow. We start from the standpoint of God, the universal, the source. And what of us? We are the Son, who is the individual idea or the individualized expression of the Creator, that is, creation. And how does this happen? with creative activity, also known as love. So you see, the saying imprinted on that hot plate was quite profound. It has a deep metaphysical truth to it. We grow as children spiritually from the Father and the Father's activity. Now, the Father's activity, if you want to put gender on things, is often associated with the gender of mother, love. Metaphorically, the statement is we grow from the Creator through the creative activity. Now, we give that concept flesh and blood so we can relate into it. So rather than speak like we are nuclear physicists, creator, creative activity, creation, kind of hard to relate to on an individual basis from an easy sense, we call it mother, father, love, child. We give that concept flesh and blood by using father, mother, human things to apply to these principles. Then we can relate to it. We can understand God and universe by relating concepts to our individual family. That's what we know and can relate to. And this is the way we have come to understand consciousness in a deep, meaningful way. Our consciousness, as it unfolds, is depicted in the Bible. The Bible is the development of our consciousness, both universal and, as we are the offspring of the universal, from an individual standpoint. The poet Browning would look to nature and develop an understanding of the development of consciousness and the understanding of God. We can also use nature, but we also have our Bible. The Bible from the very beginning brings us into oneness with the very first family and its genealogical tree. Let's focus on the name Father, and a name that's often associated with father in the Bible, and that would be Joseph. As you read through the Bible, there are many Josephs that pop up. That name is just adapted and used for that notion of father. It's almost as if our consciousness of God develops with the development of the many Josephs as we see through the Bible. One of the first Josephs we see is Joseph the dreamer. The multicolored robe, one of the sons of Jacob, sold into slavery, into Egypt by his jealous brothers. That does not stop him from being connected to his role as being in tune with God. He developed qualities that were godlike within himself, and it is not too long before he gets elevated from a slave, descends into a jail cell, and then ascends to Pharaoh's assistant. And when his brothers return from the famine, he does not use his power to smite them. Rather, he helps them grow. He is able to provide for his family in the times of famine. Now, eventually Joseph dies, but nevertheless, his family begins to prosper in Egypt. And a season passes, and a new Pharaoh is appointed. And as the Bible says, that new Pharaoh knew not Joseph, and hence the children of Israel, who were now apparently fatherless, became slaves again to materiality, bondage, until a new spiritual father, Moses, rises up, helps them grow, and leave material bondage. We see a new heightened Joseph appear in the writings of Matthew. Parentage was important to Matthew. He's seeking to establish the genealogy through the house of David. And he does this by describing three times generations of 14 to get from Abraham through the line of David through to Jesus. The name Joseph itself is reminiscent of Joseph the dreamer. And Matthew does it this way. Jesus' mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, and before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But then just like his ancestor Joseph, or his namesake's ancestor Joseph, he has a dream. And in that dream, he gets an interpretation and a message. And the interpreted message is to fear not to take Mary for his wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Joseph here, as described in the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, is the imaging, the increasing power of mind. And here we have an unfoldment, not only of ourselves, but from our understanding of God as well. Joseph, father, has moved forward from influencing the king of Egypt, our material consciousness, to now influencing the king of Israel, spiritual consciousness. Here again, we have Joseph and Mary, father and mother. Together, their love is helping the son grow. And then we meet Jesus in the temple at his bar mitzvah, except this is no ordinary ceremonial thing. If you've been to a bar mitzvah lately, there's a sound and light show, tickets and bands and rock music and whatnot. But in those days, he's at the temple. But he takes it seriously. He embodies the lesson. He becomes the actual spiritual being at that 12-year-old ceremony that he goes through. He is separated right at that point, and you can see it, from the biological child, Jesus, to the spiritual being. Now we read in Luke that Joseph and Mary were returning to Nazareth and did not notice Jesus was with them. Really? That has to be a metaphor, because no parent leaves on a journey, especially the distance between Jerusalem and Nazareth, without checking, double checking, triple checking. Are the kids in the car? Are they buckled in? Are they in their car seat? You know, where are they? I mean, that just, you know, is impossible to happen. So obviously it's a construct. It's a metaphor that's being set up to make a point. And here is the point. They return and find Jesus in the temple, holding his own with the scribes and the priests of the temple, asking questions, speaking with authority. You see, he's made that quantum leap spiritually. He's gone from evolving as a human being into a spiritual being. Browning, the poet Browning, is said to have believed that spiritual evolution doesn't happen step by step gradually, but it occurs at what he calls right angles, meaning it's not a smooth step by step transition. It's a quantum leap. Jesus has made that quantum leap. He's broken from his biological parentage. And look at the dialogue that takes place between Mary and Jesus to bring this point home. And it uses the construct and the shifting context of the use of the term father. Son, she says to him, why hast thou dealt with us like this? Behold, thy father, small case F in the reading, and I have sought thee sorrowing. Notice she's referring here to the father, the biological father, Joseph. She's speaking to him as if father is his biological parent. But Jesus responds with a different response. How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father, capital F, father, father's business? And they understood not. Of course not. They're looking at it from a very human level. Jesus is looking at it from a very spiritual level. He is about his Father, the Creator, God's business. Jesus has made his break from being a human being to being a spiritual being. It is noticed in the dissonance between he and his mother and their use of the term father. Mary is speaking of Jesus's father, Joseph. Jesus is speaking of Father, Creator, God, principle. He's no longer about human business. This is what he's exactly embodying. But he's about the business of God. He knows spiritually the Father's love will help him grow. We see later in his ministry another break from human parentage. It's almost cruel what he says. makes it quite clear in his contextual shifts in describing that human parenthood is binding people to their material conditions. I don't think Jesus or anybody wants you to be unkind to your human parents. Children sort of tend to do that. I don't think they mean to. But it's no longer the emphasis. The emphasis is on spiritual development, and here's how Jesus expresses it. Whoever shall declare their faith in me before men, him I will confess also before my Father, or declare they are with me before my Father, capital F, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Of course, the I here is Christ consciousness. It is our spiritual nature that we must get in tune with. He goes on, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. That's a shocking statement, but that's what he means. I'm not here to make peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, small case father, and daughter against her mother, small case M mother, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loves his human mother and father more than me is not worthy of me, meaning he who loves human conditions more than spiritual conditions is not on the right path. And he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Look what he's saying. If you love your human life more than your spiritual life, why, you're like Adam and Eve in the garden, tempted by the serpent. Don't do that. Do this, he says. Follow me, me being your consciousness of being, your spiritual or Christ consciousness. And he that takes not his cross and follows after me is not worthy of me. He that finds his life shall lose it. And he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. This brings the concepts of fatherhood and motherhood to a whole different level. The shocking tones, I think, of his speech are intentional. For we are so embedded in identifying with our human parentage, we may miss the opportunity for spiritual growth. We have to stay awake and pay attention. Now, another Joseph appears at the end of Jesus's ministry. It's not the same Joseph. This is Joseph of Arimathea, who is described or defined in the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary as the imaging faculty on a very high plane of consciousness. And I would posit to you that God's consciousness and our consciousness of God are growing together. We're together in this. Joseph wants the body still. He wants that body to have a proper Jewish burial. He is still wedded to human consciousness. And you see, we are still dealing with human fatherhood even today. Albeit it can be at a very high and caring level, we still have that. We have had a significant amount of development of consciousness through the scriptures. Each phase, we see the importance of the father and mother figure in these relationships. With each relationship and development, we see further emphasis on spiritual unfoldment. And the break comes with Christ consciousness. It comes in at right angles, doesn't it? It's that spiritual experience. It is there, that radical concept of God as Father comes into play and supersedes the concept of human fatherhood. Now, Jesus and the early writers, they make it clear that we unfold spiritually by the creative activity, moving from creator, God, to creation as us, individualized expressions of God. Reducing the creator, creative activity, creation to humanized terms for our understanding, we say father, father's love, or mother, and growth. Indeed, nothing could be more true or profound than that statement that was printed on that little tiled piece of artwork from 25 or more years ago. Father's love helps us grow. Should we take a few moments now for a meditation period to make this lesson practical? Let's close our eyes and take in one or two cleansing breaths. And just relax. We can think about what the Bible has to say about our spiritual parentage. John, the most metaphysical gospel, puts it this way. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up on the last day. I am the bread of life, which came down from heaven. Jesus' audience murmured amongst themselves, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then, he saith, I come down from heaven? Murmur not amongst yourselves. No man can come to me, to Christ consciousness, except God, who has sent me, draws him up, and we will be raised at the last day. Believe on me, have everlasting life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. This new life, this new bread that comes from heaven, you may eat and never die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. It is a spiritual truth that the Father's love helps us grow. The Father's love is spiritual, and its substance everlasting. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge him so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.
Praise God in whom all being is. Praise him for word and former is. Praise him all ye his truth proclaim. Sing joyful praise unto his name.
Go in peace and be with God, for his love helps us grow. Have a blessed week.